Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
So today's reading comes from Romans 12, from verses 3 to 16. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are all one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight.
Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody, tell them, don't be bots. Psalm 1 translation of that verse. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Today, we thank you in advance that we're going to hear from you. I want to move out of the way. We want to hear directly from our King, who happens to be the Father and Creator of this universe. And so, Lord, we pray that you would access our hearts, form us and shape us, Lord, more than just the tickling of our ears. Lord, we want to be transformed by your word. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. 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 That's right. We're in a series called Grace Changes Everything. We're going through the book of Romans. We are in chapter 12, and the title of my message today is The Gift of Invisibility. The gift of invisibility. Being able to use your gifts in a way where people don't see you, but they see Jesus. Let me just ask you this question right up the top. When you are asked the question, how was your day? How do you answer? Are you the sort of person that answers, good, just to get it out of the way? How's your day? Oh, good. When it wasn't good, or you don't want to get into details. Any of you like that? How many of you, like, when you're asked, how was your day? You start talking, okay, at 5:55 a.m., you give a full-on description of how your day was because you're taking advantage. You asked me how my day was. So I am going to give you a full novel of the day. How many of you are like that? See, none of you want to admit that. Just, yeah. The reporter, right? Usually when we consider how our day is, we should also consider how our day is centered, because whatever centers our day usually dictates how the day goes, right? If we see that our day is centered on the King and his kingdom, then shouldn't we be able to see a good day? Because God is good all the time. And all the time God is good. That's a matter of asking, who's the king or queen of your day? Consider this. Every week, right, you have 168 hours a week. There are 168 hours in a week, of which you're about to spend 5 hours as I preach this message here today. Some of y'all didn't get the joke. I'm not going to preach for 5 hours. Some of y'all are looking at me like, oh, we're excited to hear you for 5 hours, Nelly, because we love hearing you talk. Don't lie. So you're dedicating 1.5 hours to church, to our time together today, okay? Let me just say this, side message completely, okay? If I can speak out of English. Side message completely. Parents, if you don't prioritize church, your kids are watching, they won't prioritize it either. So prioritize this 1.5 hours every week. Shows your children that you're prioritizing God. So just a side message, put that in your pocket, throw it in the trash if you don't like it. Okay, so 168 hours in a week. You've dedicated an hour and a half to worshiping together as a spiritual family. You might dedicate during the week, and we encourage all of you to do life together, to get involved in a in a life group or get connected for all my youth, you know, to go to youth on Friday and connect with the Ian Logan youth crew. I mean, that's another couple hours you might spend with other people getting edified and being with the body of Christ. And then you think about, okay, that leaves you with about 164 hours left in your week. How many of you can't live without like 8 hours of sleep? You need your 8 hours. Anybody here? Okay, these are the honest ones. How many of you're like, 8 hours would be a dream? I would love 8 hours, but the reality is, pray for us. I am one of these people. I wake up when I can hear my son, who wakes up at the break of dawn, singing the Lion King song. Ah, I'm like, come on, it's 4 a.m., buddy, come on. So, like, let's consider this. Okay, you get 6 to 8 hours of sleep every day, so times that by 7 equals that much. And then the rest of what you're left in the day, okay? 6 to 8 hours, that's 24 hours, okay? 24 hours in a day, 6 to 8 hours of sleep. And then how many of you have a job? You work? Praise the Lord. Come on, keep your hands up. Some of y'all are like, I have a job, but I don't want it anymore. I want a new one. It's interesting, eh, right? There's a survey done in the United States in the late 90s that actually investigated the heart of people that were in full-time employment, and 80 to 85% of people that were in their job were dissatisfied with their job and they didn't want that job. So they were spending, on average, okay, 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, being in a position that they didn't want to be in. How many of you know, like, that's a kind of a waste of life, just watching that go and clock over till you're 65, only to get a Rolex watch that you will have for 8 to 10 years, and on average, here in Australia, you die in your mid-70s. Sorry to be so morbid at the start of my message today, but I'm just trying to help you to see, right? Because if there's 8 hours that you spend at work, how many of you are at school? Good on you for putting your hand all the way up. Some of y'all are like, don't want to put your hand up. That's all right. I understand. It was a hard week. These arms are tired. But if Jesus is the center of our lives, shouldn't that mean that we should be conscious of how we spend not just our time together here at church or at life group, but shouldn't he be king of the way we rest? Not just sleep, but we rest. Right? There's a difference between sleeping and resting. How many of you like just conk out and sleep? But like when you understand that Matthew 11 says, on the invitation of Jesus, come unto me who are weary and heavy laden, he will give you rest. Take his yoke upon you and learn from him, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He wants to give you rest. And then he wants you to understand that your work or your school is a gift from God, that you have a job or you have school or you're in a situation. Some of you may be not in employment right now, but you're in a nation where you can at least be able to be provided for while you're in between jobs and so forth. So we're blessed. But if we don't center our lives on Jesus and see that he's the king of our lives, we can easily miss out on seeing him as the center of our 168 hours a week. Because what it would look like, because some of us might ask the question, okay, now you don't understand, like when I'm at work, I don't think about God. It's hard to think about God when I can't stand my workmates. Or you might be at school, right? You might be there working at school. You know, I know our Ian youth here. You know, you work hard, you're getting all A++s. There's people around you that just don't work as hard as you do because you work hard, but you have other friends that don't work hard. So it's hard to see God in the middle of all that you're doing. I'm just here to encourage you all today. There's ways to recognize and honor God in our work. You know, one of the ways you can honor him is do your work excellently. Like, do a good job, like a great job. It's sad when people hesitate to engage with Christian businesses because they think that Christian businesses will do shoddy jobs, right? We should be the ones who innovate and do excellent work. How about being kind at work? I'm going to just say this. I was at a Christian business yesterday and they were getting ready to close. I won't say which business it was. They were getting ready to close. And the person that was behind the counter was not happy with me that I showed up like 5 minutes before they closed. And so I went and I bought what I bought And I bought what I bought because they had a sale on where they were. And then and she charged me full price. I said, excuse me, there's a sale on right now. And she said, well, you didn't bring the voucher for the sale and you're supposed to tell us. And I said, oh, well, praise the Lord. See, it's hard to see the king of the kingdom in your work when you got a fish sticker on it, but your behavior is fishy. You know what I'm saying? Building the wrong kingdom. How about selflessness? How about praying for your colleagues or your fellow students, right? For those of you who are in high school, when's the last time you prayed for your friends at school? Especially the ones that get on your nerves. Oh, you don't understand personality. He gets on my nerves all the time. Well, pray for him and maybe pray for yourself. How about actually telling them about Jesus, preaching the gospel where you are? Like, when's the last time you actually talked to the people, your colleagues at work, about your faith? Because here's the thing. You are constantly being formed. You are constantly being shaped by the things around you, whether it's words, images, things around you, right? That are shaping your thinking and the way you feel. And if you don't center your life on Jesus, then those things will shape your thinking. It's amazing how even in churches sometimes, we have people who have been in church a long time, but because they haven't allowed the Word of God to form and shape their thinking, they still think like the old way. And I wanted to apologize because I shaped your thinking last week by talking about KFC and talking about it with such passion and fervor that my brother Harley drove into the drive-thru and said, my pastor has led me to come. I'm sorry for leading you astray, brother. Nothing but salads today, all right? Nothing but preaching about salads. We're going to Subway after this. But the determinant of the course of our day depends on who the day belongs to. Let me ask you, who's the king or queen of your day? Do you sit at work with your crown on thinking, man, I got it all together. This is my day. Only to find that you're more stressed at the end of the day than you were at the beginning of the day. You know, I used to live in Singapore. I lived there for 8 years. And it's amazing how, like, I would buy into the mentality, right? That if I didn't answer the question, and the question would be, like, how was your day? If I didn't answer with the answer, oh, it's been a busy day, I would feel less of a human. Like, how ridiculous would it sound if I said to somebody, if they asked, how was your day, Nelly? I said to them, oh, relaxed. I am fulfilled. What? No, like, we measure the success of a person by how many headlines they have on their head because they're stressed. Well, I'm more stressed than you. No, I've got more headlines than the news. Dad joke, sorry. Because we celebrate and value busyness. When we don't understand, like we learned last week, for from him and through him and to him are all things. Why do we act like it's all us? For from us and through us and to us are all things. And we wonder why we have to turn to vices to try and comfort our souls. Or we have to turn to different things to try and bring a rest to our anxiety that only lasts momentarily. The reason why is because none of us were designed to receive glory. He was. We were designed to reflect glory. For from him, meaning he's the source. From through him, meaning he's the authority. Nothing goes through to the earth unless it comes through him. And to him, meaning he is the end of it all. All things to him be the glory forever. Can I get an amen, somebody? Come on. Psalm 118 says that this is the day that the Lord has made. Not this is the day I became a made man. This is the day that the Lord has made. Who made the day? The Lord. Did he really? Then why do we spend it in a way that doesn't honor him, right? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let what? Us rejoice, not let me rejoice. Because there's also a corporate nature to the way he's called us to walk together. The great theologian Mariah Carey was right. We belong together. I just can't sing it like her. Whistling notes that only dogs can hear. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Turn to somebody and tell them, be glad. Don't be sad, because that's bad. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. So let's move to the scripture that Levi read for us, okay? Check this out. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone. Are you everyone? Any everyone's in here? Anybody in here ready to receive what Paul is saying here? Okay. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself or herself more highly than he ought to think or she ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. You know, I'm not really that big into like those reality singing shows, but when I do get to watch them, I like watching at the beginning of the series. You know, I'm not too interested in following the drama all the way through to the voice, you know, on The Voice or American Idol or, you know, Logan's Got Talent, whatever. You know, like I don't really follow it. I just start at the beginning because, you know, at the beginning they have the parts when they all come to audition, right? And I always like watching. How many of you like watching that part of it where you get the guy or the girl who the only one who said they can sing is their mom, right? No accurate mirrors in their life. And they go up and they sing the song, only to find that there's a judge in front of them, like a Simon Cowell, who will finally tell them the truth. And so here comes this girl who has no business singing Whitney Houston. Don't let me close one more door. I'll tell you what, I'll close that door. I don't know what accent that was, by the way. I was just trying. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. And the only way that we have this accuracy is, yes, to walk in the Spirit, but to have community around us that will tell us the truth. Not a bunch of yes people around you that will watch you fall and just say, oh, I was going to tell you, but. So here's the thing. Let's move forward here in this scripture. Think of ourselves with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. One of my favorite parables in the scriptures is where Jesus tells the parable of the man who was rich and he leaves these talents. Talent was a unit of money back in the day. And he gives 5 Bitcoin to one and 2 Bitcoin to the other and 1 Bitcoin to the other guy, right? And so the guy with 5 invests it back into the exchange, and then he sees it multiply. And then the guy with 2, he goes, oh, you know what, to play it safe, I'll just invest in ETFs. And so he invested in ETFs. The guy with the 1 just puts it under his mattress. You know, he grew up in a Samoan home, so he had a bunch of iakonga, so he just put it under there and just said, you know what, I'll just put it under these mats. No one will see it. And then when the boss came back, the guy showed the chart on his crypto exchange, he said, look, I've got 5 more. And then everyone's like, yay, well done, my good and faithful servant. Then the guy with 2 says, you know what? I've got 2 here. I put it in ETFs because I thought, you know, better safe than sorry. It's all I know how to do. And he got another 2. And the guy with 2 who made it 4, and the boss was really happy for him. Yay, come on in. I actually think he was the hero because he didn't fall into the comparison trap, because he could have easily been, how come he gets 5 and I only get 2? But the guy with the 1, he buries it and says, you know what? I lifted up all the iakongas from all the funerals and I give it back to you. Here you go. And he's mad. He's frustrated. Why? Because he hasn't used it, what was given to him, in the right manner. Each of us, and I'm about to get into talking about spiritual gifts here, have been blessed with gifts that are to be used and invested in glory to God for the sake of others. Greatest commandment that Jesus gave us, actually, even in the Old Testament, Jesus just repeats it, right? It's to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. For, as in one body, everybody say one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. Praise God that we're all different in here. Because what has a tendency to happen is that we don't make disciples, we make clones. And so the expectation is for all of us to be the same. No, we're all different. We're all wired differently. There are different gifts in each of us. I look around this room and I see so many giftings that are different. And I praise God for those gifts that are in you, that are different from me. There are things that I can do then maybe you're not so strong in, and there's definitely things that you can do that I'm definitely not strong in. I can't cook like Elijah and Salu. but I can partake in the gifting. Hallelujah. I can't run a fitness class like Henry and Helen, but I can partake in that blessing maybe for about 10 minutes and need to stretch my old man bones and get back into it. There's certain anointings on different ones of you. Every single one of you has an anointing and a gifting that God wants to use for his glory. For we are all one in the same body. How ridiculous would it be if every nation, Logan, to use this analogy of the body of Christ, were all a bunch of kneecaps? What church do you go to? Oh, I'll go to the kneecap church, bro. Want to come? For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. Turn to somebody next to you and tell them, you don't have the same function as me. Because I'm special. And so are you. Now check this out. So we, though many, are one body in Christ. You need the person next to you. You need the people around you, because together we are one body. And we're not the only church in Brisbane. I just want you to know that. We are all one with the rest of the body of Christ in this great city. And then the rest of the body of Christ in this nation. Sure, we may disagree on some of the non-essentials, but if you are preaching the accurate gospel of the risen Savior Jesus Christ, if you are preaching this Bible that we preach, then you're our brothers and sisters, right? If you believe in the resurrected King who was both human and God at the same time, born of a virgin and is resurrected and is now alive in us and is returning for his church, then we're brothers and sisters, man. We're not the only church. Let me just tell you, give you a key, okay? If you hear a church saying, we're the only church, run. We are the one and only true church. Yeah. In Samoan, kamoe. Like, run. Run for the hills, because that's not true. We are all a part of the body of Christ. We need each other. I need you. This stage may indicate to you that I don't need you. No, we need each other. This is standing on this stage sometimes feels like, okay, Nelly is the expert. There are some things I may be the expert in, but those are the things I bring to the body. But we all collectively serve and are functioning as a part of the body. I need you to function just as you need me to function. Church is not just coming to attend an event to listen to somebody who can wax eloquent about the Bible. I know that's an area where God has gifted me, but unless you operate in your gifts, then we're missing out on the activation of the body of Christ. Because if it's all about what just I do up here, then the body of Christ looks like a mouth. I know it. God is using this big mouth. I hope you never see any indication of what this mouth used to be like before Christ. But Christ got a hold of this mouth, and now he's using it as a part of his design for the body. And God wants to use whatever you have as a part of the body, that we serve the same God as the body of Christ. Now let's break down these giftings here. Having gifts that differ from, according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Everybody say, let us use them. Okay, here's the gifts that are listed here. Now, there's different places in the Bible. This is not an exhaustive list of every gift in the Bible. Romans 12 is one list. 1 Corinthians 12 is another list. And Ephesians 4 mentions the fivefold ministry in verse 11. But these are not all the gifts there are in the Bible. This is one of the places where you'll find the gifts. In fact, the gifts that are listed here are what we call ministry gifts. They differ a little bit to the 1 Corinthians 12 gifts. But I'm going to focus on these gifts here, okay? Okay, here's the gifts that are listed here. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, to the one who teaches in his or her teaching, to the one who exhorts in his or her exhortation, to the one who contributes, however you want to say it, in generosity, to the one who leads with zeal, to the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Notice that, all right? The one who has mercy is to do it with cheerfulness. Because you don't want to have the gift of mercy and just act really sad all the time, right? Like, acts of mercy is supposed to be done with a cheerful heart. So let's go through these gifts really briefly. This is a listing of the gifts and an explanation. This is just nuggets of the explanation of the gifts done by Regent University in the United States. You can go on Regent University's website and you can Google the spiritual gifts. They give an extensive explanation of the gifts that are listed here with the Greek and all of it. I highly recommend you look at them. But Let's look at prophecy. Prophecy is the Spirit-given ability to proclaim the written word of God with clarity and to apply it in a particular situation. Let me just say this, okay? If you meet somebody who prophesies over you and it does not line up with the word of God, run. Okay, it should line up with scripture because the spirit and the word are one. Amen? So a prophetic word should line up with 1 Corinthians 14, where it says that prophecy should edify, encourage, and comfort. So that's the gift of prophecy, being able to declare God's word. In fact, in many ways, what I'm doing right now is prophetic. I am prophesying over you by preaching the written word of God. Now, there are other forms of prophecy, but this is the most primary one of which I am exercising right now. Secondly, we have the gift of service. It's the God-given ability to identify the unmet needs involved in a task and to make use of available resources to meet those needs and help accomplish the desired goals. The gift of teaching is to instruct, clarify, elucidate, there's a word for you, illuminate, simplify, and to illustrate for the sake of communication and understanding. This is one of the gifts that I love to exercise and use, like taking complicated concepts, help break it down for people so that they're able to understand it. This is a great gift to have. The gift of exhortation, God's given ability to minister words of comfort. Anybody been around people that are so encouraging and they know they have the right words to say at the right time? This is the gift of exhortation. They give encouragement and counsel in such a way that others feel helped and healed. So the gift of contribution, okay? God-given ability to understand the material needs of others and then meet those needs through generosity, in generosity. Let me just say this prophetically. I just feel led to say this prophetically. I feel for you, Elijah and Saul, that's one of your gifts there, the contribution. Like there's a supernatural ability to be able to see, man, there's a need here. I want to be used by God to fulfill that need. I think that, as well as other gifts that are there, service, obviously. But I just want to pray that over you guys. I really feel like that gift of contribution. Some people think it's just money. Money's a big part of it. But like that ability to see, man, there's a need over there. I need to take whatever I have to help serve that need. Or I need to rally people to come around and help serve that need. That you can't rest because you feel the burden of that need and you need to be activated to contribute to that need. And sometimes that's powerful with the gift of mercy. I'll get to that in a moment. Leadership, the gift is to set goals in accordance with God's purpose for the future and lead others to harmoniously work together for the glory of God. Notice that, right? Leadership is not leading people to build a platform for yourself, but it's leading people to help them to work together, help collectively work together so that we can all collectively exalt the name of Jesus. And then lastly, mercy, genuine empathy for others who serve distress in distressing physical, mental, emotional, social, and spiritual pain. Some of us naturally move that way and are able to see that gifting. Now here's the thing. Some of us may say, I'm only gifted one way, so the other way doesn't matter to me. Now, here's the thing, because like sometimes in churches, we can exalt certain gifts and lower the value of other gifts to the point where if you're called to leadership, you might say, I'm a leader, but I don't have the gift of mercy, so I don't care about anybody I lead. How many of you know that's just wrong? I don't have the gift of mercy and I don't care. Well, sorry about you, Chuck Norris. You know, like all of these gifts are powerful. But I'm going to get to the whole posture of using these gifts, because if I just explain these gifts and all you do is sit there and just grasp at the gifts without understanding the posture of how God's called us to serve with these gifts, then you can have a tendency to take these gifts and use them in a self-salvation type of way. Here's the posture. In the same way that 1 Corinthians 12, where it lists the gifts and talks about the body of Christ, comes before 1 Corinthians 13. For those of you who are doing maths, 12 comes before 13. And 1 Corinthians 13, what's the main theme of 1 Corinthians 13? Anybody shout it out. Love. Thank you. Wow, somebody remembers. In the same way, this list of gifts come here. This follows. Let love be genuine. Everybody read that one more time. Just those four words. Let love be authentic. Keep love real. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly or sisterly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. The mark of a good marriage is where a husband and a wife are trying to outlove and out-honor each other, right? And in the same way, that's the way we ought to be as the body of Christ, is trying to out-honor one another. Not in a way that exalts us, but in a way that honors God. Honoring without expectation. So let love be authentic. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Don't do it the other way around. Hold fast to what is evil and abhor what is good, right? Love one another with brotherly or sisterly affection. Love one another. One of the greatest detractions of people walking in Christian community is the way that we don't love. We haven't put love at the forefront. In fact, the love that we have is not genuine. It's disingenuous. So I'm in conversation with a cousin of mine earlier today in New Zealand. My cousin's an atheist. He's an artist. Amazing mind. But he went on a tirade earlier today on his Instagram account. He's got many followers. He's quite an influencer. That's what they call them these days, influencer. And so I started a conversation with him because he was mad at the way that his view of the church and how there's been a manipulation of certain Christian leaders trying to build their empire on the backs of others who suffer rather than actually seeing their platform as a platform to serve. And I had to go in and just say, cuz, I apologize, man. Because that's not the way that we should act as Christians. In fact, the time when we really see Jesus want to play tackle bull rush, the only time we see it is when he's in the temple and he sees that people have turned the house of prayer into a den of thieves. And the Bible says that he actually forms a whip and goes in there and plays tackle bull rush. Not exactly tackle bull rush, but y'all know what I'm saying. And so I'm just saying sorry. And my cousin said to me, I know, because you know I'm not a believer, but what you're saying to me gives me hope that there's actually some real God-fearing people in the world today. I said, bro, it's all love, man. But I'm sorry that Jesus has been misrepresented by the way that people have used these gifts in a very evil way, where their love is not genuine, it's been disingenuous. And so we wonder why this generation looks at our Christianity and sees, man, I don't want anything to do with that church on Sunday and using the other 166 hours of the week not honoring God. Let me ask you this question. Do you use your gifts to show genuine love or to build your own platform? Do you use your gifts to show genuine love or to build your own platform? Because now it's all about being seen, right? And yes, in a genuine way, I see you. I see what you're walking through. But is your desire to be seen in a way that is disingenuous rather than to be seen and helped into the grace of God? Let me move forward. Do not be slothful or lazy in zeal. Be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. There's going to be times, brothers and sisters, there's going to be times when you don't feel like it. Any of you been there? I don't feel like going to church. But Nellie, you're the pastor. You kind of need to go. The reason why I'm here is not because I work here. That's part of it. But like the reason why I'm here is because I need it. The world has been trying to form me for the other 166 hours of the week. I need to be reformed and transformed by the renewing of my mind to get around the Word of God. And let me tell you something. If this is the only time you get in the Word of God, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. You need the Word of God to access the Word of God every day. Because if you don't have a word from God, you better believe the world, the flesh, and the devil has a word for you. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Whew. How many of you have faced tribulation during this pandemic? Oh God, teach me patience. I can't wait till you teach me patience. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. This is important. Hospitality means to make people feel welcome. Again, the same root word, right? Hospitality and hospital, right? Hospital is a place for the sick. Every nation, Logan, is a place where the spiritually sick can find their way home and be healed. Oh, but Nelly, you know, being around the spiritually sick, it just takes up so much of my time. Using your gifts the way that God would have you use your gifts is always inconvenient. Never on our schedule and our budget. Being constant in prayer is also having a godly awareness of where He is in our lives. Praying for you guys, man, I'm praying that you'll learn to win and that you don't take a day off from your Christianity. Can you imagine? Like I'm getting ready to perform a wedding this Friday for a couple in our central church. Can you imagine if the vows were like, okay, I vow to honor you 364 days of the year, but on my birthday, boom, 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 go shorty, it's your birthday. Just on my birthday, hun, just a special day, you know, gonna pop some bubbly, get ridiculously drunk, gonna go back to the old ways just for one day, and then I'll be faithful to you. The next day, how many of you know, where's she gone? Runaway bride, huh? Julia Roberts, right? Gone. Like faithfulness is determined 168 hours, 52 weeks a year. But it's amazing how many of us will say, oh, but you know, they only turn 21 once. But you've got 19 nieces and 20 nephews, and they're all going to turn 21. We make excuses. Because we don't abhor what is evil and we hold on to what is good. It's the other way around. We're still holding on to the past. Do you use your life passionately to pursue God or pursue your own gain? Are y'all here? Are y'all okay? This is helping you? It's helping me. Okay. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. That's just another way of saying don't be prideful. But associate with the lowly. That means to associate with those who are hard to associate with. Hang with those who are hard to hang with. Let me just say to all my students here, there are people in your class that you may have overlooked, and it's not your fault. It's just the way that people look at each other. I really believe this week that God wants to use you to see the unseen and to love the unloved in your school. I'm just going to put that in your pocket. You can put it in your uniform if you want to. Or you can say, oh, no, Pastor, I'm not ready for it. I pray the Holy Spirit will help you to see them because He loves you. You're amazing. And same for all of us who have jobs. Tomorrow when you go to work, don't say it, Pastor Nelly, because I know exactly who God's going to send me to. I can't stand them. I'm just going to leave it there, right? I'm just going to leave that there. Well, maybe some of you, you know, you have your kids in daycare and God is calling you, hey, hang back a little because there's some mothers here as well who need a little bit of attention. Don't just drop the kids off and go play. But hang a little while. Stay there and talk to some of the other mothers who may need a little bit of prayer, may need a little bit of advice, may need a listening ear. Just put that in your pocket. Let's close this out. Just think for a while. Love one another. Pride or haughtiness is being self-centered. Let's not be self-centered. For your gifts are about how and not what. What do I mean by this? You've got to figure out where and who He's called you to in your calling, because your calling does not revolve around your gifting. It revolves around the field that He's called you to. I'm going to just unpack this first, okay, so you can get this. Your gifts are more about how you serve, not what your gifts are. I'll say that again. Your gifts are more about how you serve with the gifts, not what your gifts are. So, you know, like as you're figuring out whatever your gifts are, you should not be the one that goes, okay, Pastor Nelly, I'm going tomorrow to Officeworks to print me out some business cards that say, oh, this is my name and this is my spiritual gift. I will only be used as long as I'm being used in that specific spiritual gift. How many of you know that's the wrong attitude, right? Henry and Richard Blackaby wrote an amazing book called Experiencing God. And they say this in the book, the Father and Son Team. I believe many people today are taking an unbiblical approach to spiritual gifts. A common teaching is that people should discover their spiritual gifts and then find a ministry or activity that specifically utilizes this gifting. But this assumes Christians will keep the same gift and that once they discern their gifts, they should accept ministry opportunities that match the gift and decline any ministry that is not supported by their particular gift. Biblically, God always gives the assignment first. Then God equips the person by the Holy Spirit to accomplish what he assigns. They both go on to say that beyond the spiritual gift, the actual gift is the Holy Spirit himself. Are you going to refuse the assignment based on how you're gifted and not believe that God has given you an assignment and that he'll give you the gift to match that assignment? Whatever that assignment is. But we look like that Drake meme, right? When God calls you to the assignment and then he says, move out in it. And you'll say, nah, I don't have the gifting. And then you wonder why it's hard to hear God. Well, God's been like, well, you haven't obeyed me in the last assignment and you're struggling to hear me now. Obey me back when I spoke to you 4 years ago to move out in that assignment. And you'll be like in your prayer time going to Jesus, you used to call me on the cell phone. See, the assignment, then the gifts equals your calling. Now I'm going to give you a tool, okay? So get your cell phones ready. I'm going to give you a QR code on the screen. For those of you watching at home, take a note of this QR code. This is a spiritual gifts test that was given by Lifeway Ministries in Nashville, Tennessee, that serves churches all over the United States and the world. And so this QR code will give you access to a spiritual gifts test. But hopefully you've listened to everything I've said leading up to taking the spiritual gifts test. Because if you're just going to grab the gifts and go, woo, I'm just going to build myself a little platform with my gifts, you've totally missed the point of everything I've said. That's why I haven't spent so long I'm talking about, ooh, let's figure out what your gifts are. That's the easy part. The hard part is actually being obedient to the assignment. And let me just say this in closing. Okay, I didn't say this in Central, but this is a special Logan remix just for you. Okay, because our people, I'm talking to specifically the Pacific Islanders in here, and by Pacific Islanders, I also want to include my Filipinos in here. The tendency can be here, because y'all are Pacific Islanders, PI, Philippine Islands. The tendency can be that we are given an assignment, and then we get all shy about it with false humility. See, in Samoan, we have two words for the word humble, right? One is loto maulalo, which means a spirit that is down, actually, and angamalu, right? There's a holiness about a true humility. True humility is actually when you are obedient to God. When he actually says, go, and you obey. Just do it. It's not just for your shoe brand. Just do what he tells you to do. Then you won't fall in the trap of doing what you shouldn't be doing because you're so caught up, enraptured, by doing what you're supposed to be doing. Please do not fall into the trap of shyness, thinking that you're honoring God by your shyness. That's straight up disobedience to God. Seriously. When God tells you to do something, do it well, do it excellently, do it boldly. And it's not just on the sports field. Like when we're on the sports field, we do everything so well. And I praise God for the gifting of what we can do on the sports field. But I'm saying the same thing for our businesses. The same thing for the way we do at school. The same thing for us who are lawmakers who want to get into government. The same thing for all of us who are involved in different aspects of shaping the spheres of influence within our society. I really believe that with all my heart, God is going to activate people here in every nation, Logan, through the giftings that he's given you to know the assignment. And here is that QR code. Should you choose this mission, you will not self-destruct in 5 seconds. But this is what God has designed for you. This is Lifeway's spiritual gifts test. I'll leave it up for there for a while. Hopefully and prayerfully, you've been able to receive from the Holy Spirit. And my prayer is that we posture ourselves in humility in order that we may know how he's called us to serve. I'm going to ask this question to you. I'll put it up on the screen in about 10 seconds, okay? Just giving you time for those of you who are still on Androids trying to figure it out. It's all right. I have the spiritual gift of patience. I'll wait for you. The gift. I'm kidding, all right? Don't leave the stream because you're watching on a Samsung. Don't leave. Who has God assigned you to journey with and build with in his kingdom? And how has he assigned you to serve them? I'll read that question one more time, okay? That's 10 seconds. Who has God assigned you to journey and build his kingdom with? And how has he assigned you to serve them? Now, this is both within the church as a part of the body and into the city, the lost, those who are unchurched, okay? That's the question I want to put before you. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to give you about 4 to 5 minutes to discuss, and then we're going to worship God. I'm ready to worship him. I'm ready to thank him for just giving us the gift of his grace. Are you all ready? You all ready to do this? Okay. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've given us gifts. Firstly, I thank you for the gift of grace and mercy and life. Lord, from you and through you and to you are all things. To you be the glory. But Lord, our response is to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable before you, for this is our spiritual worship. Lord, that you've called us, Lord, to not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may be able to test and approve what your will is, your good, pleasing, and perfect will. That we would not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. For you have given us a measure of faith. You have given us these spiritual gifts, and you're calling us to a love that is authentic and genuine. You're calling us to hold fast onto what is good and abhor what is evil, to resist what is evil, to run away from what is evil. Thank you that you give us life and life abundantly. Thank you, Lord, that there is no life apart from you, but you welcome us into life. And Lord, we want to be a church that is used by you. We want to be a people that are used by you. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you today and your desire is to say, you know what, Pastor Nelly, I'm in a situation where I haven't been actively following him, but I want to today to let my love be genuine, to run away from evil and cling to what is good. Can I just get you to lift your hands and surrender if that's you today, if you're making that decision to hand your life fully over to God? Lord, I pray for these ones who have their hands up, Lord. I thank you, God. Lord, as they are making this decision to follow you wholeheartedly, Lord, that as they put their trust in you, that you will show them how to shape their week, shape their day, shape every part of their lives around your glory. We pray your kingdom come in their lives, on earth as it is in heaven. Just pray this prayer with me, everybody. Lord Jesus, I come to you today in thankfulness that you have given me gifts, the gift of life, and these spiritual gifts that I get to have. So God, I give you my life. Lord, I want to be used by you in every day and in every way. Thank you that you forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I declare today that my life belongs to you and that you are my King. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.